Glad you're all with us this morning. Last week, we read Genesis chapter 39, and we're going to continue with Genesis 39 today. So Genesis 39, verses 2 and 3. And the Lord was with Joseph, so he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Now his master saw that the Lord was with him, and how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand. Last time, we considered some of the patriarchs of the Old Testament in terms of the promise of God's presence upon their entire lives. As this passage reminds us, Joseph knew the blessing of God's presence in spite of all the wrong that he had suffered in his life. He had been sold into slavery by his very own brothers in their anger and jealousy against him. Then he was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife and thrown into jail for many years. Yet, in spite of all this ill treatment, Joseph knew the hand of God going before him and blessing him in all his endeavors. Even in that prison, the chief jailer knew that all that Joseph did was blessed with success, and that all that which was put into Joseph's charge was handled correctly and properly and with integrity. We then read several passages concerning Samuel and David and Hezekiah in the manner in which those who dealt with each one knew that these men were blessed by God in all that they said and did. There was a complete knowledge and understanding that these men had the operating hand of the Almighty upon them. They were considered in the light of a prophet who spoke that which was honored by God, and as kings whom God installed upon the throne of his people. In their lives, the mighty presence of God guided, directed, and manifested his pleasure and his power and his glory as the core desire of all with which they concern themselves on this earth. This is the heart that we each need to have instilled into us. We need to beseech God to make himself known ever more clearly and dearly into our lives on this earth. As we stated, we do not want to know God for the sake of his blessing us, but fully for the pleasure that he will derive as his heart's desire and plan and purpose becomes our course of walk on this earth. All that we do because we want to bless God, not so that he will bless us. This is something that we grow into as we live before God on this earth. As children, we seek for those things that will make our lives easier, more pleasant, more prosperous, and more fulfilling. We focus on what will work to effectively honor God, while at the same time including our wants and our needs and our desires in the equation. However, as we mature in our walk before God, there should come that time and that manifest reality that will be instilled into us that all that we desire with all our hearts is that God is blessed. We will seek to please him alone, no matter what it will cost us, no matter what road we must travel, no matter how many trials and tribulations we need to bear. This is the point at which we will gain a little understanding as to what the presence of God in our lives entails for the benefit of God's glory alone. No longer will we couch our prayers with those hidden desires after wealth and glory and fame and success unto ourselves. We will no longer be the viewpoint of either good or bad, but simply seek for the Lord to be blessed and to be pleased in the manner in which He lives His life forth from us unto His testimony on this earth. It will no longer be us doing our best to chase the enemy and to secure some place of safety and sanity by force of intellectual argument and logical dissemination and rebuttal. Our hearts will be so attuned to the heart of God that as we respond to our accusers and to the naysayers, and even to those loved ones who do not understand our utter reliance upon God as the source of everything that comes our way, all that will proceed forth from our mouths will be what the Holy Spirit gives us to say. We will absolutely rely on Him as our everything. Our Lord Himself promised us this very gift of being the one to speak forth in all of these situations, as we read in Matthew 10, 18 through 20. "And you shall even be brought before governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not become anxious about how or what you will speak. For it shall be given you in that hour what you are to speak. For it is not you who speak, but it is the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you." We will so know the very presence of God that even our words will not be our own, but will be His, as we speak in accordance to all that He gives us in every time of need. Not only does His presence make us the conduits of what He will speak forth in every place He puts us, but He will make Himself our confidence and our assurance and our boldness to proclaim Him alive now and evermore. Consider this as we read concerning the members of the early church and their gathering together in the name of Jesus Christ. Acts 4, 31 through 33. "And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak the word of God with boldness. And the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own, but all things were common property to them. And with great power the apostles were giving witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all." And abundant grace was upon them all. Here again, we come back to the fact that as God was with him, His grace was covering them for the sake of God's own testimony on this earth. The reason that the early church continued to grow and to expand from Jerusalem to all the known world was that God was with them in the manner in which they presented the good news of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. He was boldly proclaimed, not just in word, but in power, and in the daily reality of life on this earth. Those in the sphere of influence of the members of the church saw something that was different and unique and powerful as the Lord was present. Christ was the living witness of the difference that He makes in the lives of His people. It is just as Jesus promised His disciples and all of us in John 14, verses 16 through 20. God made every provision to be with us forever and forever. John 14, 16 through 20. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Helper, that He may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not behold Him or know Him. But you know Him, because He abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will behold Me no more, but you will behold Me. Because I live, you shall live also. In that day you shall know that I am in My Father, and you in Me, and I in you. Now, in this dispensation of grace, the Holy Spirit is our promised Helper in every sense. As we are the living witnesses of Jesus Christ in our homes, in our communities, at our workplace, wherever God sends us, He guides, He directs, He keeps, and He blesses our every endeavor after His heart of love. We know that we are never alone, no matter what the circumstance or the situation. Not only does He become our every source of wisdom and strength and ability to endure, but He is our comfort. He is our joy, our peace, and He is our encouragement through it all. As we learn to more and more live in accordance to God's will, the Holy Spirit makes His will our every course of action and desire in this realm. All that we do becomes an increasing exercise of the faith with which He blesses us. As the Apostle Paul so fully detailed in Ephesians 3, 8 through 12, to me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ, and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery, which for ages has been hidden in God, who created all things, in order that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which He carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in Him. The whole plan and purpose of God in the church is revealed as the Holy Spirit makes known the great mystery of Jesus Christ in us, the hope of glory. The church can only fulfill that mission as each member so presents him or herself to the working and majestic hand of God. He will bring forth through His church that which will show to all the rulers and authorities on both earth and in the heavens the marvelous truth of Jesus Christ alive and glorified. This is far more than words spoken in church services. It far transcends revival meetings and church functions to attract new visitors. It is the matter of the daily walk of faith which manifests the power and the wisdom and the manifold omnipresence of God in both the greatest and smallest aspects of His church's walk on this earth. We see this evidenced in the New Testament. Acts 11:20-21. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who came to Antioch and began speaking to the Greeks also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a large number who believed turned to the Lord. Note that God does not mention the names of those men who brought the gospel message to the Greeks at Antioch. They are just identified as men of Cyprus and Cyrene. What is often overlooked is that it is as a result of these men and their witness of the good news that many Greeks became believers. And as that took place, the leaders in Jerusalem felt the necessity to send Barnabas to check it all out. He soon brought forth Saul, soon to be Paul, as witness to all that the Lord was doing among the Gentiles. And eventually, this culminated with the missionary travels of Paul and Barnabas, in which the church completely expanded to include both Jew and Gentile in the one body of Jesus Christ. It was all at the direction and the obedience of those who were able to say that the Lord was with them in their ministry of hope and peace and life in Jesus Christ. Soon, this truth would become the anthem of the apostles as their encouragement of all in the name of Jesus Christ. As Paul so writes in 2 Corinthians 13:11, "Finally, brethren, rejoice, be made complete, be comforted, be like-minded, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you." What a support for those of us who daily walk amid the strife and the stress and the strain and the anxiety and the pain and the fear and the disdain of this present age. We do not have to concentrate on those earthly stains of dishonor and dissension. We can find our solace and our refreshment and our source of energy and ability in the reality that God is with us at all times. We have rejoicing as our portion, and completeness and comfort and peace as the love of God flows freely forth from us unto all those in such desperate and dire need. As well, the Apostle Paul makes known the fact that our peace and our security is fully set in God with us. It is not dependent upon us and our sense of worthiness and our efforts to try to deserve any of it. It is all ours in the abiding presence of God with us always. He is the God of peace. And since He is with us, so should our lives evidence that peace, especially for the sake of others. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now may the Lord of peace Himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all. It matters not the situations. It makes no difference the trials or the persecution or the prison or the dilemma. He is our peace, and He is always with us. As was so true of Joseph, even in all those years of imprisonment in Egypt, the Lord was with him and prospered all that he did for the sake of God's plan and purpose. The exact same is true of us as we take our eyes off our circumstances and look to Him and recognize that He is the sovereign Lord of all His creation. It is our privilege to see Him high and lifted up and glorified above everything else. The Apostle John joins the chorus of the wonderful presence of God as we read in 2 John 1 through 3. The elder to the chosen lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth, for the sake of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Look at the descriptive language used to portray what is now true in you and in me and in all the members of God's church. Truth, forever, grace, mercy, peace, and love. These are the splendid and awesome realities that are infused into the lives in whom God now lives. This is not a matter of some day in the future. Wherever God is, there is the observable and obvious revelation of His character and nature. It is this accurate and comprehensive indwelling that makes you and me and every member of the true church the pleasing aroma and soothing fragrance of the glory that God alone deserves and will have now and evermore. So be it. Now his master saw that the Lord was with him, and how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand. Amen.